Today is Daf Nun. We are on Samach Tes Amos Beis, three lines from the bottom, in the midst of some conversations between Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya and the Caesar, who, based on the chronology, should be probably Hadrian. Caesar, Hadrian. And now he's asking the following question. So, Amalek Hazel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Caesar says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Va'inan de ichzele ela haichu. I want to see your God. Folks in the Maharshon and the Mara, whether it means he wants to actually see God physically, meaning he thinks that God is not incorporeal, or he says, no, I want to behold the essence of God. So Amalei, so Yeshua says back to him, Lo machis chazisle, you are not able to see it. There's no way you can see it. I mean, everyone knows that people you're only on the side. And even when Moshe Rabbeinu asked to see his essence, Hashem just showed him his back. So Amalei, so Caesar says back to him, Ibra chazile, show it to me. I want to see it. So Azul Ukmi Lahade Yom Tufus Tama. So Yeshua went and he put Caesar next to the sun during the summer. Right? Okay? So Amale Istak Obey. So and Yeshua says to him, you know, look at the sun. So Amale Lo Matina. So Caesar said back to him, I can't do that. So Amale, so Yeshua says to him, Yom the Chamishamshe, the Kaima Kame, the Kutsabrihu, Amart Lo Matin Listaki Bay, Shina Lophosakane. It comes to the sun, which is only one of the servants that stands before Kodesh Baruch Hu. You say you can't stare upon it. How is it possible that isn't clear that you will be able to gaze upon the essence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? If you can't gaze upon the sun, surely you cannot gaze upon God. Fine. Amalei Kezer B'Shu Ben Hananya. Next kind of thing. So see the Sifu B'Shu Ben Hananya. Ba'inan it's basically Nahamal Elokaihu. I want to make a feast. I want to make a dinner. I want to break bread with your God. So Amalei, so B'Shu says back to him, Lo Matzis, you can't do that. So Amai, Caesar says back, why not? He says, Nefishe Chilvaise, because his legions, his all the people around him are too many. It's too big a feast. So Amalei Ibra, no, I want to do that. Amalei, so she says, fine. Huk Tseves Legida Dervise, Yerivicha Alma, if you insist, go prepare a big meal on the banks of the river Revisa. Right? That's big. I guess there's a lot of open space over there. Go prepare a big meal over there. So Tarosh Shita Yarki Kaito. So Caesar prepared the meal for 6 months, and after 6 months during the summer, and after he prepared everything, Asa Zika Kanchuliyama, a wind came and swept everything into the sea. Then Tarosh Shita Yarki the Sitzva. Then he prepared for the next 6 months, and then when everything was prepared again, right, Asa Mitra Tabbiyama. Then a big rain, some sort of the Yoma, a hurricane came and washed everything into the sea. So Amalei my high. So there. So Caesar, so Hadrian says to Rabbi Yeshua, what is this? So Amalei, Rabbi Yeshua replied, Hane kinoshot zalochai de asur kame. He says, these are just the people who come before Kodesh Baruch Hu. He has a small servant that come before him. They're taking their part of the meal. So that's the first step. I told you a lot of people, a lot of legions and stuff like that are going to have to come from Kodesh Baruch Hu. They come before him. So you haven't even reached the Kodesh Baruch Hu yet to prepare the meal. So Caesar says back to him, Amalei, Ihaki lo matzina. And so you're right, I'm not going to be able to prepare a meal for him. I'm not sure what all this means. I'm sure there's more deeper meanings behind it. Amalei baskez lo b'shu ben Hananya. So now this is Caesar's daughter, says to b'shu ben Hananya. Isn't this probably the same daughter who insulted him? The whole story that the daughter insulted him because he wasn't good looking or something like that. I don't know if it's the same daughter. But, so Caesar's daughter was Peter. What? No, but it's Rav Shua Knanya, so I think it's Hadrian. Hello? No, but it could be around. Maybe that she took the face. She wanted the face. Maybe. Depends if it's the same season at the same time. Like the third William office, they're not all taking place at the exact same time, so I don't know. What? Right. So Amalei Bas Kezer B'Shu Ben Hananya. Ella Haichu Nagaruhu. He says, your God is a carpenter. Right? That's it. Because the Pasuk says, the daughter of Caesar knew the Pasuk and Taylor. I don't know the Pasuk and Taylor. It's the Tziv HaMikare V'mayim Al Yosav. He puts a roof over his attic with water. So Amalei, so tell him, the Nabili Chadim Misto Risa. Tell him that he should make me a, Rashi translated as a reel. I don't know what a reel is. Like people are spinning in the room. Right? It says here it's a bobbin. It's an implement used to wind newly spun thread into spools. I want that wheel. I don't know what you want with the reel. So, Amar Lechai, so Rabbi Yeshua says, okay. So Vayirachmei Alad in Nagla. He, so Yeshua davened, he prayed about her, and she also became a leper. She got leprosy. So Osa Beshuka, the Rome of the Avilim, is the rest of. So they, when she becomes a leper, they put her in the marketplace of Rome, and they gave her a meal. I guess that was the minhag. The Gemara says, the Havu Nihigi, the foe, the minhag of the Rome, Yahavalim, Miss Orisa. That it was a practice in Rome that anyone who became a leper would be given as real. Right? Vyasa Beshuka, Vasasa Davlave. And then they would be sitting in the marketplace, and they would wind coils of thread. I guess they had nothing else to do, so they just would wind. Would wind the thread. Right in the middle, no leper college, right in the middle of the street. I guess everyone would see if you hit the left inch of the buy rapid light horse, people would see them and pray for them, right? We have that, we put the, you know, the leper of Badad, they have him smack in the middle of the marketplace. Very good. Yomachad have a kathali possum. So one day Rishu was there, she was in Rome, I guess. Rishu was passing there. Have a Yasba Visasta, right, talking about Rome, right? Have a Yasa Vasasa the Davale Bishuka the Roman, she was sitting there winding the thread in the marketplace. Amrullah, so we said to her, Shapirta Mis Torisa, do you have a Vithala? Is it good real that Hashem gave that my God gave you? You happy? You satisfied? So Amrullah, she says back, Emile Lilhat Lishkol Mighty Ugly. Tell your God to take back what he's given to me. It's not what I asked for. It's not what I want. So Amrullah, she was says back, our God, he grants requests, but he doesn't take them back. I don't know what that means. What does it mean? So grant a new request. He's not one thing, he granted. It's not like he's not taking it back. Right? But I don't understand. Alright, so I'm going to go. I don't understand anything. What? Yeah. So I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. You just said, sure. Parsatan u parsatan. Right, sure. It's got a big belly and it has hooves. Rav reishet rav benubite. It has a big head and it's got a large tail. Yichilufa b'chamara. The opposite is true by guarding a donkey. I guess it has a small belly and small hooves. Its head is small and its tail is small. You need that. What do I need this for? The Gemara says, well, might not be me. What difference does it make? What's Yeshua telling us? We know the difference between a donkey and an ox. It's not like yesterday we had the ibex and this. Here's the difference. So Gemara says it's relevant the gabe in the Mecca from Memkar. Right? The Mecca from Memkar. That I guess it means that if you sell an ox, the default ox doesn't have these characteristics, and the default ox doesn't have these characteristics, meaning. And if you sell without specifications, and they give you an ox that has like a small tail, I guess that's, you know, not the post. Oh. Okay. More Agadita. So I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to digress, discuss other things that Rabbi Yehuda said about an ox. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Shor Shehikrib Adam Arishon. The ox that Adam Arishon offered as a sacrifice, right, that is based on the Gemara of Zohar. The Gemara of Zohar says that when Adam saw the first night come, he got scared. That was the end of the day. And then the next morning, when he saw that the sun rose, he realized that that's just the way it works. That's the day. Wait, he had the same thing also when it came to the days getting shorter. Then he reached the winter solstice, and then the days got longer, which is probably the first time the holiday took place around that time of the year, towards the end of the year. So the shore that other Rishon was marked with, Karen Achaz Haisel Obe Mitzvah. It only had one horn on its forehead. It was like a unicorn's ox. Shenema, how do we know that? Because the Pasuk states, in Tehillim, it says, "Vatitav LaHashem Yishur Par Marki Parfis," and this praise that Hashem, the Beloved, sings should be more pleasing before Hashem than the ox bull which was horned and hooved. So the Gemara says, wait a second, it says Makrin, right? Makrin Tarti Mashma. That means two. It's horned. Mashma two horns. So the Gemara says, "Amar Nachman Mikaren Siv." Makrin is the way it's read, but it's read Mikaren. There's no Yud. You can read it, Karen is singular. There was only one horn. It only had one horn. I don't know what the difference between one horn and two horns. But like, you say, like, Hilkus of the Hilkus of the not Mysa. What's the story? What does it teach us? So, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Shor Shehikrib Adam Arishon, the ox that Adam Arishon offered to Hashem as a sacrifice, Karnav Kodmos and Parsoso. Its horns came before its hooves. Okay, so. Rashi says that normally an ox is born with his hooves, and over time it develops its horns. But the original ox that Adam Arishon was makriv, it was created, like all things, it was created in a mature form. It was created in a mature form, and it came forth from the ground. So what came and then it's hoof. It's the opposite. It's kind of kadmos of the parsel sov. Shene'emar, the pasuk says, Vakitav Hashem mishor par makrin makris. It says that it should be more pleasing before Hashem than the ox, bull, horned, and hoof. Makrin bereish of ahad makris. First it talks about the keren, and then it talks about the makris, about the hoofs. So the keren came before the hoofs. And that's the Messiah Leila Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This supports the teaching of Yeshua ben Levi. Dar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua said, Kol Maisa Bereishis, all the works of Maisa Bereishis, Bikomasa Nivru, they were created, I guess, full height. Bidaita Nivru, they created, they created according to their will. I guess how the creation, how the creation wanted to be created, that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu created them. Bitsibyona Nivru, and they were created the way they wanted to be. I don't know what that means. Rashi says that each chicken came first. Which came first? The egg. My separation, chicken came first. Everything was created mature. Right? But it seems to be here that each creature chose its form and characteristics that it desired, as a Rashi seems to say. Right? Shehodiyam shivaram behem yuzo. Rashi says. Okay. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vayechulu hashemayim va'aretz v'chol tzva'am, Al tikrit tzivaam, el tzivyona, which means not their host, but their desire. They were created in accordance with their desire. Okay, I don't know what this means. Okay, Darish Rebbe, now we're going to talk about that, but they were created in accordance to their will. But Darish Rebbe Chanina Bar Papa, Chanina Bar Papa says, the Pasuk says, Yihi chavod Hashem li'olam yismach Hashem ma'asad, right? The glory of Hashem should endure forever, and let Hashem rejoice in his works. Pasuk Zeh, Sar Ha'olam Amaro. This pasuk was initially uttered by, translated by the minister of the world, right, which seems to be, to bring down, in fact, kind of the Sar Olam, Rashi says, Malach Hamamuna, some sort of minister, some sort of guy, some sort of Malach who was the Shliach of Hashem to do what Hashem wanted. They bring out that this may be, the pasuk says that this could be the Matatron, or something like that. Angel. I don't know what it is. The pasuk says, Sarsha Olam Amaro. Right, it can't be, right? Vishasha Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Vimineu Ba'ilonos. And when Hashem said to the trees that they should come from the earth, each in accordance with its kind, meaning that each, they shouldn't be mixed. They should come separate, right? The pasuk, right? Right, so nasud b'sayim kavachomer asma. So the types of grass, right, the types of grass and vegetation, they made a kavachomer, and they said, imritz nashal kadosh baruch hu be'irbuvia. If a kadosh baruch hu wants everything to be all the meat, all the species to be mixed together, lamar mar limineh b'ilanos. Why do you say limineh? They should each come up to their own species by the trees. Really, he wants a distinction between the species. So therefore, it applies to us as well. But oh, kavachomer. Besides that, I'm going to make a kavachomer. And regarding trees, which don't typically come out all mixed up, a tree is more of an individual type thing, right? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Meiyu, Kodesh Baruch Hu commands that they come out from each in their own species. Anu alachas kamakamak, that are regarding us, which is vegetation, which can grow all mixed. It can grow all mixed. How much more so does he want us to apply separately? So each type of vegetation emerged from the earth only in its own kind. And Pasuk Sara Olam Omar, so the Sara Olam got up and said, Hashem should rejoice in the glory of his works. Fine. So the Gemara now says, so we're talking about something regarding Kelayim. Now there's two types of things over here, right? So there are two Pasukim that deal with Kelayim. There's a Pasuk in Vayikra which says, right, it's with the side to Shmuel, the Hemphalo Sabiya, Kalayim Sat, Lo Sizra Kalayim. Okay? And then in Devarim, it also says, Lo Sizra Kamrafa Kalayim. So you have the idea of Kalayim, you also have the idea of, you know, you can't graft trees into each other. Grafting is learned from the Pasuk in Vayikra, Kalayim is also learned from the Pasuk in Devarim. Okay? So now, this prohibition about the Kalayim is limited in that it only pertains to plants, like grains and vegetables. But trees and grass and vegetation, it's not edible, they're not subject to this filter. But cross-grafting is not limited to trees, but even to things that are non-bearing, non-fruit-bearing trees. So the Gemara now is asking whether this inedible vegetation even though it's excluded from Kalayim, whether it's subject to the grappling issue. Vay Ravina, Kirtin Shnei Deshaim Zeh Al Gav Zeh. So if someone grafted two types of vegetation into each other, the Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Mahu, what is the law according to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa? Because according to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, he said that the vegetation was never commanded to come out each its own kind. Originally, because Baruch would allow them to grow together. So maybe there's no issue in them all being grafted together. Right? So the Gemara says, Keva de lo kasubu lo mineyu lo machayim. Since it doesn't say the mineyu, so one who puts them back together is not liable because they do anything. They're supposed to be together. They decide on their own to be separate. O Dilma, or you say, Keva de hiski maidayu, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the initiative that the vegetation took, right? Command exhibit the Mineyu Damyo. So then it's considered as if the Pasuk says the Mineyu, each after its kind, and therefore they should be separated, and they would be in the circulium. The Gemara says, Teku. It should be Teku. Tosu says, what do you mean Teku? Tosu Amaral says, Im Tomar, Masnisim Hid Masechas Klein. It's a Mishnah, Masechas Klein, the Terakama. It says, Ein Notim Ilam Be'ilam, Velo Yarek Be'erek. You can't put vegetation together. But Otsnan, Ein Notim Zerah Delas, Betoch HaKalamis, Vevdeshu Yarek Be'erek. So it's a various Mishnah in Kalayim. So he says, "V'yishlomar demi boyle b'chutzlaretz." We're talking about only chutzlaretz, right? The sharu kilei zeroyim, because kilei zeroyim is mutter, v'asirei hakavas ilah, but only grafting a tree is aser. It is a so parakam the kedushin. Where is it? Oh, so umi boyle ich chashibale hakavas zeroyim kerakavas ilah. So the question is whether or not grafting the vegetation is the same thing as grafting the tree. And I'm not. Making Brias and his Tsukim and his brushos. Okay, another Agadita. This one we're more familiar with. So Rav Shim, we see this every year, and we also saw this in the Gemara Shuas. Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Rami. Rav Shimon ben Pazi raised the contradiction between two Tsukim. Pasuk says, Vayas Elohim Eshnei HaMa'oros HaGadolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the two great luminaries, the sun and the moon. It looks out that they were equal sides, right? Uksiv, and then it says afterwards, the Eshamor Gadol, let me tell you something. So one's big, one's small. They're both big. What's the seer in the Tzukim? So how do you reconcile the two Tzukim? So Mar says, Amra Yareach Mekodesh Baruch Hu. So the moon came before Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, originally both of the sun and the moon were the same size. And then the moon said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Efshal Shnei Malachim, Shishtam Shem Ketzer Achad, is it possible two kings to use the same crown? I mean, you have to be both the same size. So Amra Leh, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, you're right. Go and diminish yourself. You become small. So now that explains the contradiction. So now the Gemara will continue the conversation between the moon and God. So Amar Lafana, so the moon then says before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Hol V'Armaitis Nechad Dabra Hagun, Hamaitis Atmi, it makes this, listen, I said something right to you. Now you're telling me that I have to be small? Oh. So he says to him, so Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, you're right, you can go out and you can be seen day and night. I mean, the moon is sometimes visible by day and the sun is never visible at night. So Amar Leh, except like in the Arctic, where it's visible from far as well. So Amar Leh, so the moon says back to Kodesh Baruch Hu, my Rebuse, what big deal is that? The Shigra B'Taharimai, what use is a candle during the daytime? So the moon is supposed to light up and the sky at night. Tell me, I'm going to be out during the day. It's like having a flashlight during the day. You don't need it. Right? It serves no purpose. So Amalei, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu says back to him, you're right. Zil nimnu bach Yisrael yom mishonim. Let B'nai Yisrael count the days and the years via you. In other words, we're going to have a lunar calendar. So the moon says back to him, Amalei, yom anami. I efshar galo manu beitik bosa. Right? The siv, ahi lo'osu samodim yom mishonim. The sun also is served as some sort of counting for the seasons, because you can't count the seasons. You must count the seasons via the sun. It comes by the sun. Those are the seasons. As the pasuk says, you have to bring a pasuk. Because both luminaries, right? This is Bereshis Perek Aleph Pasuk Yudalid. They'll serve for signs after the festivals and for days and years. But the Yom Tovim, it's clearly the sun that we're going by. So the Gemara says, so Hashem says back to him, Zil Likru Tzadiki B'Shemech. He said that, go ahead, because there will be Tzadikim will be called by your name. Like you have Yaakov HaKaton, and Shmuel HaKaton, David HaKaton. We have these things. But by Yaakov, it says, it's in Amos, it says, Miyakum Yaakov HaKaton, who And then Vayakov, but that says, and he also says Katonti Mikolim, Katonti Mikolim, Katonti Mikolim, Emes, and Shmuel. But Shmuel are cut them also. I'm not sure where it says Shmuel that he's cut on. By David, he quotes the Pasuk of Shmuel Aleph, which is the David who are cut on. So they're going to call the cut on, just like you call the cut on. So that's going to be your Nechama. But nevertheless, Chazieh Adelo Kan Miyat V'daita. I'm sure that it wasn't good for the moon. He didn't accept that. So this is tough. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, "Hey, if you kapara alai shemiyatati as yareh, you know what? We're going to have everyone bring a kapara. They'll bring an atonement on my behalf for having made you small." Which means, "Behind the Amar of Shimon Lachish, what Rabbi Shlaki says, man is trying to start to Rosh Chodesh and Emvel Hashem. Why is the sa'ir that's brought on Rosh Chodesh different from all other kabanos musaf? In that it says the word Lahashem, right? It says Chatas Lahashem by the one for Rosh Chodesh." So Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sayer Zeh, Ye Kapara Al Shem Yatias Yereh. This Sayer will be a Kapara for me having made the moon small. Kodesh Baruch Hu said it wrong? What does that mean? Right. According to this Gemara, it's not. According to this Gemara, Hashem made a great Kabayachal mistake.
Exactly.
I don't know, what is that? The moon was correct. Because this Gemara is very difficult. because Rashi there is only coming to explain, trying to explain the Tzukim. The Tzukim state, one was big, one was small. How do you answer the Tzukim? The moon complained and was made small. Now we're done with explaining the Tzukim. Rashi did it, done his job. No, he's explained. The Gemara also did it. The Gemara made the separation. In order to explain the Pesukim, we did that. We explained the Pesukim. Rashi's job is to explain Pshat. I've explained, I explained Pshat. Pesukim are done. Oh, there's more to the story? Thanks. Go look up the Medrash, if I call it.
Right.
In economy, but he's still doing his job. The Maharal, quotes in the article here, the Maharal says that maybe the Sayer is not, it's not a kapara for Hashem. Not that Hashem did anything wrong. What Hashem is doing is that I'm going to use the Rosh Chodesh, which is you, to have them bring a Sayer, which is specifically for Hashem, which will be the impetus for them to be tshuva. Via you, will be an impetus for tshuva. I like that, but it's, I don't know. Okay. Rav Ashi Rami. What's a gadol and a katan? So I heard the Rav of Salvation point says that what's the difference between a gadol and a katan? You heard this word. So a gadol is somebody who's mashpia, right? That's what the son is mashpia. A gadol is someone who gives over. A katan is someone who just takes. He does not mashpia or anything. So the moon is not mashpia. All the light the moon gets is what? The reflection of the sun. That's why the moon's katan. And the gadol, right, which I can mean, you maybe have to go on to this. The moon doesn't have its own light. That's why it's a katan. It goes to explain, based on, you can go talk certain types of individuals, whether you don't have to necessarily be, you don't necessarily be a Tamathakam to be a Gadol. If you're a good influence, you're a Gadol. If you're a Tamathakam and you're not a good influence, you're a Katam. So that's the difference between a Gadol and a Katam. A little back and forth that you can try to fit in from your speeches now. Alright, so Rav Ashi Rami, following Tzukin, Ksiv, Vatotse Oretz Desha, said that the vegetation came forth plus the Shabbat on the third day of the week. Uksiv, and then it's written, V'kol siyach asala termia v'aretz. Right? On the sixth day of creation, it says all the plants in the field were not yet on the earth on Erev Shabbos. So weren't they created on the third? What are we doing on day six? They're not there. So melamed sheyotzev v'shoyim v'amdu al pesach hakarka. So the way you explain the contradiction is that all this vegetation, they emerged on the third day, but they remained right at the tip. They didn't pierce the ground just yet, right? They were waiting for the rain. So then Adam came,
and he davened for them. When the rain fell and then they sprouted, who wants the prayers of the tzaddikim, right? So he wants to pray the tzaddikim. So two things. So before, if you're a mashpia, then you're another level. Then your prayers are wanted by a kodesh baruch. So Rav Nachman bar Papa had a garden. So he planted it with seeds and didn't sprout. So boy Rachmei also mitzvah chatzama. Then he davened and the rain came and it sprouted. Amar hayu de Rav Asi. That's what he said. This is what Rav Asi said. Interesting. That a kodesh baruch who wants the praise of the righteous. Fine. Now we're going back to our Mishnah. We're talking about identifying certain kosher animals. Now the Gemara is going to focus on a certain non-kosher animal that's mentioned in the Torah, which is the Shesua. So Amar Rav Kan Bar Rava, HaShesua. The Shesua is Birya B'Kleyasimhi. It's a creature in and of itself. Which means it has its own, Shesua is not like a general term. It's its own individual, its own creature. Sheyeshla Shnei Gavin, it has two backs. Shnei Sidros, it has two spinal columns. Right? So the Gemara says, V'Chimoshe Rabbeinu Kinigi Haya O Balistri Haya. Now, was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kinigi or a Balistri? Which they translate here as a hunter or an archer. Okay? That he, meaning, should he be able to know who the hunter or archer, that he knows what all these animals are? Right? So the Gemara says, we can't chuvel over and from Shemayim. Here we derive, for anyone who says the Torah is not from Shemayim, because you see from here, Moshe could not have known all these uncommon characteristics of all these uncommon creatures unless the first Baruch told him. It comes from Shemayim, Hashem will understand. Well, right now, just it seems that only because he mentioned these creatures. That's what it seems to be over here. That argument is made elsewhere. But that argument is difficult because it's not in that, whatever. There are books written about that. So, Amalei Rav Chisda Rav Tep, right? So, the Gemara is going to talk about the language of Kinigi and Balistari, which was what they say here. Rashi says this is very elegant language. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Chisda Rav Taklif of Aravina, go write down this teaching using the words kinigi and balistri, because those are beautiful words. Keep those words. All right? And then Maris and another are going to give another meme that led to a similar comment about, you know, the pretty words. The Pasuk says, right, at the time of Yoshua's death, it lists the parts of Eretz Yisrael that were not conquered yet. It says, Chameshes Sarnei, Pelishtim, Ha'azosi, Ha'ashdodi, Ha'ashkeloni, Agiti, the Akroni, the Ovim. Right, the territory of the five princes of the Philistines, the Gazit, the Ashdodit, Ashkenazit, the Gitit, and the Akroni. Right, and the Ovim. So, Amar Kamisha, the Kasachita. So, first it says the five princes, and then if you count them, there's six. So, what's going on? So, Amar Rabbi Yonah's son, Arnuki Shelhem Kamisha. Arnuki means, which means their princes were five. Because, I guess they say, it says over here, quoting Rashi and Yoshua, it says that the Ovim were just part of the one of the other kings, kingdoms that was listed. So he's just saying, so Amar Lev Chizla Ritakli Barvina, Suv Arnuki Bagidechu Parsha. The word Arnuki, you also put that down. Write that word down. Arnuki is a nice word. Okay. Now the Gemara says, now we're going to explain the pasuk. Well, Pliqua the Rav, but that's Rav argues, Amar Yonah's son, the Amar Rav, Avim became on Bo. Says, no, the reason why, they're really five, but the Avim, they originally were not necessarily from territory of Eretz Canaan. They came from Taman. They're not true Philistines. They came from Taman, the son of Eliphaz, who was basically the grandson of Esau. So they were called Avim, but they wanted to come here, and they moved. Okay. The Gemara says, Tainan Be'achav Bryce, it also supports Rav, that the Avim be Taman Bo. The Lamanik Rashaman Avim. Why is the name Avim? She'ibisu es mekomon, because they brought destruction to their homeland because they left and they came to the Eretz of Plishtim. Right? Avim is, what's the word here from Ivus, which means to ruin. They were ruiners. Or, Davar Acher, Avim She'ivu Lelohos Harve. Alternatively, Avim refers to Avim is that they desire. Right? It's related to the word Ivu, which is the desire. They were one who desired. They wanted to desire many gods. They joined the Plishtim to adopt their gods. And Davar Acher, Avim, their Avim, Shekola Ro Osam, Ofzato Avis. Anyone who saw them would shake. Right? Avim here is from Avis, which means to tremble. Okay? So Amar Rav Yosef, the Islahu Shis Sre Dari Shini Kol Chad. Each and every one of the Avim had 16 rows of teeth. That's
more than even the horses and the cows. I don't know what that means. Okay. 16 rows of teeth. Sharp, and a lot of toothbrushes. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Shimon Lakish says, Harbe Nikro Shiruyin Lisro. There are many psukim in the Torah that when you read them, they seem to be trivial, and they're worthy of being burned. There's no reason for them to be here. Rashi says, Harbe Mikros Yesh, Shadom Lekroyen, it appears to their readers, Shein Ruin Lisorik, that they should be burned. Shlohailo Lithabon, they should have been written here. Shein Hem Sorik Torah. There's no reason for them to be in the Torah. Gnai the government of Dusha. It's a Gnai to put them together with the government of Dusha. You know, we're talking about the Alufay of Esau in the same Torah. He's talking about the Karbat and the Karbanos. What are they doing here? So Gemara says, no, but Hein Kupe Torah. But these specific psukim are actually very essential portions of the Torah. Because if you analyze them, you'll get some important lessons. For example, the Torah says, right, in Devarim Perek Beis, right, the trivial fact, the Avim Hayoshvim Lechatzirim Adazov. We have the Avim who dwell in the open cities on Gaza, the Kafirim Hayotzim Mikaftur, and the Kafirim come to Kaftur, Hishmidum, right, they sat, they destroyed them, the Kafirim came and destroyed the Avim, and they lived in their places. Right, so it's a trivial fact that it's called, even though the city is called Avim, it's not a Kafirim or living there. So who cares? Why not the one Minah? The Gemara says, no, actually very important. Since Abimelech, who was the king of the Philistines, had made Abraham make a shua, in Tishkor Lee will leave me, that you will not deal falsely with me, and you know with my sons or my grandsons, meaning you will not harm my children. So these generations are still there. So the Bnei Israel cannot drive the Avim, who are Abimelech's descendants, from that city. So Marcos Baruch, so therefore Marcos Baruch says, Vesu Kafirim, Ritku my Avim, the Hainu Philistines, so the Kafirim are going to come first. They are going to conquer the territory from the Avim, who are the Plishtim, and now the Leish Yisroel will lift the Kaptarim, and now the Leish Yisroel come take the Kaptarim. They're not going to violate their Shua to Avram. Okay, right. So Rashi, the long Rashi here, Rashi here, quotes other Pesukim that teach similar lessons. Right, we have the Emim who are considered a Rifaim, and all this. Right, and it says that the Seir, that all these Pesukim in the Barim that gives a list, right, of what the cities were and who the inhabitants were, and now who conquer them. Why do you have that? It's to allow Bnei Yisrael to conquer them. But then also similarly you can say, it says, Ki cheshbon ir sichon melech ha'amuri, ki v'hu nilcham melech Moab. Right, the Torah says that Cheshbon was a city of Sichon, who was the Amori king, and he waged war with the king of Moab, and he took all the land, right, took all the land up to Arnon. This is in Bamidbar. So my nafka mina, why do I care? So the Amalar Cheshbon, Yisrael says, Al tatzar as Moab. This is again in Devarim. It says, you're not allowed to wage war, to not besiege Moab. So you're not allowed to have war with Moab. So that's the case. So Rakash Baruch Hu, they say Sichon, leave with Moab. So Sichon should come, and he'll conquer it from Moab. But they say Yisrael, leave with Sichon. And then Bnei Yisrael can come and take from Sichon. And Hayah the Amar Rapapa, this is where Rapapa said, Amon u Moab, jiharu b'Sichon. Portions of the territory of Amon and Moab were purified by Sichon. There's a conquest that Sichon did of these territories that allowed the Jewish people to go and occupy them. Finish up the last thing. Again, another pasuk in the Devarim. It says, "Sidonim, the Sidonim, the Yikru the Chermeron Sirion. The Sidonim will call the Chermeron Sirion. The Emori, Yikru lo Sinir." I love that pasuk. It's a pasuk by Britzah Parshan. I won a prize on a tour in Israel. Like recently, that was even a tour. We're going up in the Golan, and he says, "Someone give me three names of the Chermeron: the Chermeron, Sirion, and Sinir." So I won, and he didn't have anything to give. So what? Who cares that they have all these different names? What's the difference? So Tano was talking about Brisa. Sneer v'Siryon mehare Eretz Yisrael. Sneer and Siryon are actually two mountains in Eretz Yisrael. But the Sidonim and the Amorim actually use those names to the Chermon. Melame to come to teach us. She called Echa v'Echa. So all them halakhu bonu l'prach gadol la'atzmo, that each and every one of the nations of the world went and they built themselves a large city. The Hello Al Shem Hare Eretz Yisrael. They named it after the mountains in Eretz Yisrael. You know, like Jersey and New Jersey, New York. They named them after the places in Eretz Yisrael. L'lam Nechot, to teach you, Afilu Hare Eretz Yisrael, Chaviv Na'alimus Olam, to teach you that even the mountains in Eretz Yisrael are very beloved to the nations of the world. I mean, now it's like, aren't some in the refugee camps, mountain refugee camps, aren't the streets named after the streets in Haifa and all the places where they came from?
I'm not sure. Kayotze bo. Yeah, but another pasuk regarding Yosef. Right, by Yosef it says the Esha'am Ha'evir Osole Ha'arim. He relocated all the Egyptian people to different cities. He moved them from one, he migrated everybody. So why not mean it? Why? The Lo Likru Le'echav Dal Basa. Because when his brothers came, he didn't want them to view themselves as, you know, they're the strangers coming to a new place. Everyone was new in this place. I mean, it lasted for a couple of generations. After that, they wasn't the exile. So when they came, they were comfortable that they would say that, oh, you guys come from people from somewhere else. So preventing this, he forced the entire population to move, so everybody was in a new spot. Okay? We will stop here. Have a good day.